Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, indeed. Let's get started here. Tonight, we have a very interesting guest with us. Isha Patel is in the house. And just a very quick notation for this show. We did have several, during the taping of the TV show, we had several instances where we had some kind of a connection issue. And so this show has been seamed together to the best of its ability. Regardless, please welcome to my show this evening, Isha Patel.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Have you ever looked up into the stars and wondered, are we truly alone on this planet, or are there other planets just like us that might be out there? Better yet, not just like us out there, but something of another life form that perhaps we can't even see. My guest this evening, Isha Patel, is a galactic contact expert. Her work has been featured in prominent media, including various channels, radio programs, and Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. Isha is a trailblazer and thought leader in the field of galactic consciousness. Her work has received endorsements from prominent researchers in UAP UFOs, including Professor Abraham Loeb. Isha is the host of the popular podcast called First Contact, which is leading the conversation around the world about how humanity can peacefully awaken and connect with our intergalactic family. Isha leads visionary entrepreneurs into discovering their own galactic soul family through her luxury galactic experiences. We had a lot to talk about this evening, so sit back and grab something near to you as you get a chance to meet perhaps one of few galactic contact experts in this field who can truly explain to you what might be happening in our outer worldly universe. Please welcome my special guest to the show this evening, Isha Patel. Well, good evening, Isha, and thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks, Kelly. It's so nice to be here.
Oh, very interesting. We are actually talking from the U.S. to where are we talking from? Is it Australia?
Earth, Australia. That's right.
Wow. Oh, across the pond, as we would say over here. But very interesting and so glad to have you tonight. We are going to be talking about a topic that we don't really jump into very often here on most of these programs. And so this is what makes Isha very special and very unique. We're going to be talking about, I think, galactic consciousness and anything regarding that. And I know that's new for most of you. So that's why I want you to sit back and just relax and let us just go at this interview and see where it comes from. So before we get started, though, Isha, I think it's important, like with everybody on the show, to give a foundation as to where some of this began for you, or actually how far back can you go to bring us into some of your experiences that lead us up to now?
Yeah, for sure. So it's beautiful. If there's anyone who's listening to this for the first time and doesn't know anything about galactic consciousness, first thing I'll say is I've been where you are. There was a point in my life where I didn't know anything about it. And I mean, it's quite a big journey, really. There are key moments that I think really contributed to this awareness that I gained over time. When I was a child, I had a number of very supernatural type experiences. And I remember when I was maybe about 12 years old, I was living in this house and I kept seeing this ghost of this old lady that would come to the end of my bed. She never came into the room. She just stood at the end of my bed, which was near the doorway. And she just kind of stood there and just sort of watched me when I was sleeping. And as a child, it freaked me out so much that for that entire year, I remember I got such bad sleep because I would always have to have the night light on, or I would have the bathroom light on, which was next to my room. So I had a few experiences like that. And with that particular incident, what happened was my parents invited a Hindu priest, a Panditji, to come to our house and do a cleansing ceremony. And so he was able to remove that spirit. And that was kind of like one of the first times as a child that I got really exposed to something supernatural, you know? So I had those sorts of things when I was younger. Then fast forward to 2015. Now, at that point, I'd been meditating for a couple of years. And actually, the reason why I started meditating was when I was about 16 years old. I started having again supernatural experiences, this time in a different house. So we'd moved from that place into a different home and weird stuff started happening. I didn't know it at the time, but there's a difference between supernatural activity or paranormal activity and activity that happens as a result of your energy field just not being grounded. So I actually experienced a bit of both. Now, the one that happened when I was around 16, that one, much later realized that there was no ghost. It was just my energy field that was causing things to go haywire. So in my late teens, early 20s, I started investigating some of this stuff. And there was a point, I must have been around 20, 21 years old, where I was going to dance classes. I really liked dancing, like a Brazilian kind of dance style that I did. And the teacher, I didn't know this when I first met her, but she was kind of a bit of a mentor in this kind of thing. So one day I just started telling her, I felt like I could trust her, you know? So I said, "Oh, I'm having these weird experiences in my house." And she's like, "Girl, you got to do this meditation." So she actually became my first mentor. And I started visiting her regularly at her place in the hills. And she taught me how to activate my Merkaba light body. Now, for those who don't know what that is, it's essentially working with visualization and sacred geometry. It's a very specific visualization, the Merkaba. And what it does is it allows you to expand your energy field and activate your light body, which is a vehicle actually for interdimensional travel, which I didn't know at the time. I just wanted to do it so the ghosts would go away because I thought it was ghosts and didn't realize it was my own energy, right? So the process of me learning this technique, I was doing it for self-protection, not realizing that what it was also doing was opening me up. And as I was working with this mentor, I remember in one of my very early sessions, maybe even my very first session, she asked me, she said, "Do you think you're energetically sensitive?" And I said, "I don't know." And she's like, "Well, do you tend to just pick things up and you don't know how you know them, or you know?" And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I tend to like feel emotions and things like that." She's like, "Yeah, I think you're energetically sensitive." So with that knowledge, she taught me how to activate my Merkaba light body with the intention of me being able to manage my own energy so that I didn't have all this weird stuff going on, like lights blowing when I walk past them and just weird stuff, right? And that's really what kicked off the foundation, because a couple of years after learning that technique, I went through a massive spiritual awakening experience. And that was then the first time that I met the Arcturians, and that became my entry into the galactic consciousness.
Interesting. Wow, I could ask like a bazillion questions based on everything that you just said. That is very fascinating. And for those of you who have been following me for the longest time, and maybe you're learning this for the very first time, Isha, is that I seem to have a lot of that, and things have been evolving for me. I seem to have, and I don't know yet if I've caused a lot of poltergeist activity in my own homes throughout the years, but I've had over 100 paranormal, what I've thought were and are paranormal experiences, and then also 3 to 4 plus interdimensional slash extraterrestrial visitations with, you know, a handprint on my body, dreaming about a mantis being. And I also have a very unusual effect when it involves electronics and or visions that I see on electronics, or the most popular one for me is my ability to walk into a casino, sit down at a machine that I am being led and directed to, and win what we call here in the U.S. an IRS jackpot, which means something that you have to report when you do your taxes. And I just won a huge one 2 days ago again. And people do, yep, it was over $5,500. And on 4 different machines that I was led to. And of course, everybody looks at me when they're paying me, like, how did you do this? And I don't know how I do it. But anyway, the show's about you. It's not about me. But I thought I would throw that in, because what you're mentioning here about, are you causing this yourself? Or are you being led by something? Or are you in tune in a way that most people don't know how you become attuned? That's what I hope that you can also lend a hand to tonight on this show. Very interesting. I have a question, though, before we keep going. Back to that woman that showed at the end of your bed. Did she seem to be someone of age, like a grandmotherly kind of looking type? Did you ever figure out who she was and why she kept showing up there?
She passed away in the house. So she was a previous occupant of the home that I was living in.
Okay. All right. And then did she seem grumbly, or did she just seem like she was peaceful with, you know, just she just wanted you to know that she was still there?
I think she just wanted to go home, to be honest. I think, and this is something I learned later on down the track as well, because if we fast forward to around 2015, I had a studio. So that was one of my first businesses. I had a studio here in Perth. It was like a wellness space, you know, yoga, Reiki, Tai Chi, all the things, massage. And so that's kind of the first time that I discovered back then that sometimes spirits just stay in locations because they just don't know how to go home sometimes. And so in 2015, when I started my studio, I realized that I could send those spirits home. And so back as a kid, I didn't know that I had this gift, but sometimes spirits appear to me if they just need a little hand. And so what I then do is I just do a little prayer ceremony for them, encourage them to go into the light, tell them it's safe, off they go.
Interesting. And the other question people would, of course, they always want to know is, did you receive this genetically? Someone in your family before you, parents, grandparents, maybe even down the line that you might not even be aware of, did they have these kind of abilities as well?
I have a very strong lineage in this stuff. My mom didn't really practice it, but I know that my mom and my sister were aware of this woman in the house as well. Interestingly, only the women were aware of her because my dad and my brother were clueless. Mm-hmm. So the three women in the house, we had more of that awareness, you know. But on my dad's side, actually, yeah, we like my grandparents. So I didn't know them very well, to be honest, and they passed away many, many years ago. But yeah, they were into this sort of occult kind of thing. For better or worse is a debatable question, because I know they were practicing various forms of magic that my mum was a target to as well. And I won't go into the whole family history, but the very short version of it is dad's Muslim, mum's Hindu. Nobody liked it at the time when they got married, you know. So there was a bit of beef between families at that point. Yeah. And so on the dad's side, we had a grandmother who was actively practicing this kind of witchcraft. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that and the fact that they weren't necessarily using it for positive good all the time, mm-hmm. I think my parents just went, no, we want nothing to do with that. But there is an inherited component of this, you know. And so as a kid, I think I obviously picked up something of that genetically. And then I've had the choice, especially since getting to my 20s, I've really had to make a conscious choice of what I'm choosing to use the gift for. Because one big thing that I've learned is energy doesn't discriminate. If you want to use black magic to harm someone, you can. Of course, there's consequences to that. There's rules and karma and all of that. But we have conscious choice, and our level of consciousness determines how we use magic in the world. So, of course, I've decided to use my magic to help people, to bring them out of those shackles, to bring them out of the matrix, to awaken humanity, to heal. But I think that the foundations of those gifts, really, it comes down to being able to work with energy. And what you do with that is anyone's guess,
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, did you say that, did you refer to yourself as an Octarian?
Yes and no. I connect with Arcturians. I do have Arcturian in my starseed lineage. One thing to really clarify with people is, a lot of people come to me and say, "Hey, Isha, which starseed am I? What's my origin?" And I say, "Well, actually, you're multidimensional." So yes, I have an Arcturian soul aspect. I also have a Pleiadian one. I also have a Sirian one. I also have a Lyran one. I have an angelic self. I have a fifth dimensional self, and I could keep going. So I would suggest to people, don't try and identify or box yourself into just one race or one lineage, because as multidimensional beings, chances are we have connections to many, many different races.
Yeah, I don't know if indigo is a race at all, but I know that a few years back, it was brought to my attention actually from a neighbor. When I was telling her that I was having all these experiences, and I seem to attract kids and dogs, and all this, I seem to have a real easy. And she said, "Are you a star seed?" And I said, "What on earth is a star seed?" And then I started looking it up, and then I started looking at the characteristics, and was able to somehow get it narrowed down to being something to do with an indigo star seed. And it's like, yeah, that's exactly me, 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 me. But then most people, especially those that are skeptical, would sit there and say, well, that's just generalizations. Anybody could probably fit that description. What are your thoughts about being, I like the fact that you brought up don't box yourself into just any one type, because it's very true. You might be more than what you realize. But how do you address this to a skeptic that says, oh, those descriptions, those are just very general and vague. Anybody could probably fit those descriptions. How do you address something like that?
Well, I think there could be truth on both ends of this. Like, yes, it is a generalization, but I think it also provides a framework for people who are experiencing those things to be able to have some level of identification and to know that they're not alone. Because, like, even for myself, when I started discovering the concept of star seeds, I realized I ticked all the boxes. I am more energetically sensitive. I do see 1111 all the time. I do connect with different beings and different places, and things come to me in my dreams. And so I think there is an element of if you know. And I think, there are different types of star seeds as well. And this is probably going into Dolores Cannon's work a little bit, if you're familiar with some of her books. She was a clinical hypnotherapist. She regressed thousands upon thousands of people and has documented all of these sessions in her books. And it's really hard to sort of make this stuff up when you've got, 1,000 cases of people saying that I'm a star seed, I've come to Earth for this reason. And all of these people, interestingly, have come after the invention of atomic power, right? And there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that, which is that, we're getting pretty deep into Galactic Federation stuff now. But I've had these conversations personally with members of the Galactic Federation, and they've said to me that the reason why they had to do it like that was because, when if a planet were to self-destruct, that the ripples of that affect the whole multiverse. It's not just about us. It's the interconnectedness of everything. So it's kind of like, we get free will to a point. Humanity has free will. We can do whatever we want. Soon as atomic power comes in and we have enough, nuclear power to destroy the Earth, okay, that's it. Everyone's watching us. What's going to happen? This is not cool anymore, And so there is a level of, I want to say, maybe protection or watchfulness over the situation. And there have been, if you've studied any ufology, there have been many, many cases of strange craft showing up at nuclear power sites and turning them off.
Right.
or just playing with them, turning them off and on as if just to say, guys, we can do this. Like, you know, you think you have all this power, we're just going to play with your machines and turn them off and on at will, you know? So there's definitely a bigger picture to all of this. And I think when you understand where the galactic races sit in this bigger picture, you realize that there is a level of orchestration. And coming back to the indigo star seeds, that was one of the first waves that came through around the 40s, 50s, and 60s after the invention of atomic power, because you were sent here to awaken from the inside. And the reason why it was done that way was because of free will. You can't just land your starships and come down. Firstly, everybody would freak out. That wouldn't go down well. And secondly, because of free will, you know, we come in to have a human experience. And then the intention is that while we're here on Earth, we wake up, remember our mission, and then we go out there and start doing what we're here to do, which is what happened for me at 25 years old. I just suddenly had this awakening, and there I go, you know?
Yeah, and I can relate to you, except my awakening happened about in terms of doing what I'm doing now. I would never have been able to tell you years ago that I would be doing what I'm doing now. I've done many different careers in my lifetime. I mean, a lot dabbled in many different things. Was a college professor for 20 years and then worked in law for 8 years plus doing all this stuff. Never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would ever be sitting here right now talking with a number of wonderful guests such as yourself, talking about all kinds of subjects that were actually very taboo. Never could never talk about these things when I was college teaching. Are you kidding me? But there was still an awareness because I was having experiences even while I was teaching, which had to be addressed at times. And it's not like people don't want to believe in it. It's just that if they do, they got to be careful who they tell because you could lose your job. People aren't always on the same plane with each other. I have a number of friends that are so skeptical. They don't want to hear about this stuff at all. This goes against religious bases that people have been brought up on. I mean, I could go down the whole gamut. So sometimes you feel very much alone. But then all of a sudden, when I started, I've been doing this TV work now for a good, I'm approaching a year, but I have really grown a lot since my podcast 7, 8 years ago. So I had questioned myself. Am I here for this very purpose? Because that's exactly what went through my head. It's like, why am I being utilized this way? Why did this come to me? How did I end up doing what I'm doing? Did you kind of feel the same way? Although you said you're what, around what, 25, did you say, when all of a sudden your awakening came? I don't know, but I can relate to that. What, how do you respond to something like that?
Look, it was such a journey. I mean, everything from wow, this is so cool to I'm going crazy to what the heck is going on? I've been lied to my whole life. Why don't we learn this in school? You know, all of that was going on. And because my awakening was very rapid as well. It was pretty much overnight. Like I went to bed and I woke up the next morning and my entire reality had changed. And within a matter of just a couple of weeks, I was suddenly channeling Mayan elders and Arcturians and Pleiadians and not even knowing anything about channeling. Like 3 weeks before that point, I didn't even know the concept of channeling,
I know.
let alone that I could do that, you know? So it happened very rapidly for me. And I think it took me at least a good year or so to really integrate and even come to terms with the idea that this is real and there's something to this. And even then, probably 2, 3 years from that point of still like doubting in my abilities a little bit, you know, like if I'm doing a healing session, is it gonna work? Is this even gonna do the thing? I don't know what I'm doing. Am I really connected to my higher self? Is this an Arcturian? How do I know this is a benevolent being? You know, so many of those questions. But I think it's part of the journey because as a human, you know, I mean, I'd lived 25 years of my life and I'm grateful that it was only 25 because for some people they have this awakening at like 60 years. And I think if you've had 60 years on this planet believing things that are one way, and then suddenly in your 60s or 70s you have this awakening, that's earth-shattering, you know? Like that completely can break apart your reality. And so at 25, I'm still quite malleable, you know? I still have a lot of open-mindedness and I can, you know, integrate some of these new concepts. And even then I struggled with it. So, you know, there were definitely moments of questioning and doubting. There was one key moment I would like to share with you, which stopped a lot of that doubt. And that was the point in my life where I had a physical interaction with a starship. Now, up until that point, everything had been telepathic for me because I learned how to channel. I was connecting with the Arcturians that showed me these healing codes. Like, that's really how my journey started. And then a year later, I started at that point running events. I started sharing my knowledge with people. People started having spontaneous healings in my room. People started awakening. So I started to see the results of my work. So that was validation. But the real kicker for me was the moment when I was sitting with my friend at her house. So this was up in the Perth Hills, and she's quite connected too. So I was with her, and she was a bit of a mentor to me at that point as well, because she was teaching me some techniques, and I really enjoyed having someone to talk to about this kind of thing as well, you know. So we were sitting there having a cup of tea together, and then next thing, both of us had become aware that there was this starship above us. It was called the Shem Arua, and the Shem Arua is very connected to my friend. And she said, they're sending down a beam of light. And before I even had a chance to process that, the concept of that, a beam of light actually came down through the ceiling and filled the entire room with bright white light. And for about 30 seconds, it was like I was looking through this thick white fog, and I could see my friend's face, just the outline of her face on the couch next to me. And it was like she was distant, like worlds away, even though she's only a couple of meters away from me. And that was the moment, because it was the combination of the telepathic. She'd confirmed it, she'd said it out loud, then it happened, and there were two witnesses. And that's when I realized, oh my God, this stuff is so real. Which then quickly led to, why does everybody not know about this? And I'm making this my mission to share it. So that was it. That was the moment.
So the beam of light, and I'm going to ask you about this because I have a lot of activity in my house, and I've had situations where, again, a handprint shows up on me. I have a dream. I've got things sounding like I'm on the starship once in a while, but there's a noise, but there's nothing to be seen. And then there was a beam that actually, when I was, I had a major surgery. I had cancer. It seems like I've had a lot of healings in my life with something that is a higher power than myself that's helping me out here, because this has happened more than once and it's not coincidental anymore. And there was the gal that was watching me when I was sleeping, said told me that she was sitting in next to me, and she could see into my living room from another room that we're in. And she said she saw this incredible beam of light that shot up from the she said from the floor and went through the ceiling, or it could have been the ceiling down to the floor. And of course, I never really asked her, well, how big was the beam? But I can tell you that the beam, I have a rocker. And I always sit in this rocker and I meditate every single day. The beam apparently was on the what would be the left-hand side that she saw it, but I saw literally a year plus ago, and we got back from a trip, and the living room was dark, and I was walking luggage upstairs to put away, and my eye got caught. And on the right side of that chair where I normally sit, there was the size of a basketball. It was a big orb. It was cream colored. It was bright enough to catch my eyes. I turned and I looked at it. I saw it was about 4 feet up in the air, and I looked and I thought, "What the?" And just as soon as I focused on it, it just dissolved, and it just kind of came back to me regarding what the caretaker of me was saying, this beam of light, the shooting down. My question to you, and I just know that there's stuff that happens around me all the time. I just know it. But anyway, back to you. How big was the beam of light? Because I don't really know how big the beam was that she saw.
Right. Well, first thing to say is, I mean, there are so many different beams of light and so many different frequencies out there. This beam of light was wide enough that it covered the whole room. So think about like a maybe 3 by 3 meter size living room, and the whole room was covered in this light. So we're talking like a big beam.
And was the ship above the house at the time, shooting it down? Is that where it was at the time?
The ship was directly overhead. And then a couple hours later, we went outside. Actually, what happened at this point was I was freaking out. You know, keep in mind, I'm a year into my awakening. I still think everything's just going crazy because I have this really big experience. And I just sat down on the couch and was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like what just happened? You know, like it was a very, very expensive experience to me. And then, you know, then my friend, she was lovely. She made me pumpkin soup. She kind of helped me ground down a little. She's like, don't worry, it's okay. You know, and because we were in her house as well, I think she kind of looked after me a little bit there. And then a couple hours later, after I'd managed to just breathe and like really wrap my head around what just happened, then we went outside. And then looked above the corner of her house, like just above the roof. And you could still see it was there, and it flashed red and blue 8 times as I was leaving.
Red and blue.
So,
Eight
yeah,
times.
so it was
But
very, very present.
did it was its intent to let you know it was there, or was it intending to take you and bring you above and to go into the ship?
No. What actually happened in that moment was it was designed to be an energetic activation. And I think, really, I mean, that was the moment for me where all my doubt went away. I think they did it very intentionally. And also because going a bit more into energetics here, so both of us had soul aspects on board that ship. That's one of the reasons why it was able to anchor through so strongly and come into the physical. Right, because I had my soul aspect on board and she had her soul aspect on board. And you know, when we connect deeply with soul aspects, what happens is it builds a bridge between the non-physical dimensions and the 3D physicality. And so because we had the two of us in the same vicinity, in the same location sitting together, two of our soul aspects on board the same ship, there was an anchor point. And we knew they were there because at that point, both of us, I mean, I was channeling, she was connecting as well. So we knew they were there. We were already telepathically communicating with them. And what this did was it deepened that connection. So really, it was that heart opening and that activation that was coming through that beam of light. And also for me, it was one of the most tangible experiences I've ever had.
The other thing I was wondering is when that beam of light came down and everything, did you find that your abilities became stronger or more alert? Because I'm also telepathic, but I'm telepathic in a way that I'm still learning about. I know that from a twin flame perspective, I am very telepathic when it involves a gentleman that I used to date over in the Netherlands, which is he's still my friend, even though I'm married to another man, but I've known him for a long time. But I usually can telepathically sometimes send a message to him, and before you know it, he's responding. He's checking in basically, and so I'm telepathic that way. The other thing is when I'm being channeled, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. When I'm being channeled, I don't know if I. Who's channeling me? Some people say, oh, that's your intuition. Some people say, oh, that's just big, that's just luck. And I'm talking about when I'm actually in these casinos and being directed to sit down at a particular machine. And if you would have watched me 2 days ago, I'm not kidding. I was like being directed to sit down at a machine and that I've never played before, because that's usually the case. And I usually argue with myself internally, like, I don't want to play that thing. God, it looks boring. Sit down, And I don't exactly know where that's coming from, but I would like to ask you a little bit about channeling here, or what it sounds like to you. And if you can differentiate between, I don't know, gut intuition or someone directing you. Can you explain some of that to us?
Absolutely. I think first thing to probably note is, you know, when we are here on Earth, there's a real physical component, and money is a part of that. Some of the work that I also do, because I work with mostly entrepreneurs, leaders, visionary entrepreneurs in particular, and one of the things we often work on is this concept of money, you know, and every star seed who's here has their own way of receiving it. And I hate when people say, oh, you shouldn't be charging for your work, or you shouldn't be doing this, or there's no shouldn'ts in this. For you, if your way of receiving abundance is going to a casino and no get guided on which table to sit at and then winning the jackpot, then go nuts. And for other people, it's building a business. For other people, you know, it could be coaching. For some people, it could be passive income through, you know, it could be through. Are we to judge that? You know, and I think when it comes to this concept of money and how we function in the 3D, there's a lot of beautiful star seeds out there who are not embracing their pathway to abundance, and that is stopping them from getting their gifts out in the world. So the first thing I want to do is not letting those judgments get in the way and saying, oh, this is not high vibing. You know, I shouldn't be gambling. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be doing that. Who am I to win? You know, or even rhetorics around, well, if I win it, you know, there are poor people out there. I should just give all my money away. Like, you know, there's a trust that we need to have in each person's pathway to be able to do their mission. So that's the first thing. And now coming to your question around, so, you know, how does this channeling work? There are so many different frequencies out there. And the first thing that I always tell my clients is I tell them, connect first with your higher self. Because, like for you, Kelly, you've clearly got this innate intuitive knowing, right? So you know, okay, I need to go here, sit there. And I suspect that the information for you is coming from a very close guide of yours, whether or not you know who that is. You know, I mean, that's a question mark for some people. But we have guides that are around us, and we also have access to our higher self. And for some of us, we are just clairsentient. We just know. There's a knowing. It's embodied, and your body will tell you, okay, this is where I need to sit. This is what I need to do, or this is who I need to talk to, right? So as long as you're following that, I think that's a good start. Now, if you want to deepen on that and to know, okay, which energy is this coming through, that things like activating the Merkaba light body, activating yourself into various different frequencies will help you discern that. Some could be an Arcturian activation. So when you do the activation, you will learn the frequency of the Arcturian beings. And then next time, if you receive guidance, you'll be able to know, is that the same vibration? Is it a vibrational match? Or you might do a higher self activation, right? And then the next time you receive the intuitive guidance, you'll know, oh, I think this feels like my higher self energy. So you'll start to know after having explored each of these different frequencies. And there are so many of them, hundreds of them. Once you've explored all of them, then you'll know, okay, this intuitive guidance is coming from Galactic Federation. This intuitive guidance is coming from my Arcturian self. This intuitive guidance is coming through higher self. So you can start to differentiate between the different energies, because what it really is, it's a fine-tuning of frequency. So you know the source of where that guidance is coming from. And it can vary so greatly as well.
Question for you. And by the way, everybody, so keep in mind that Isha is from Australia and I'm here in the US. And at times, what happens is we might have a little bit of about a breakup here. And so, Isha, you've been kind of freezing a little bit at times. And I've just been trying to just wait it out to see what's going on. And sometimes, by the way, just an FYI, when I do a lot of these interviews, and there are things that I ask for questions, and something doesn't want somebody to explain something or give answers or go into a higher level of thinking. This stuff will happen. So I just wanted to be really clear that if it's either a connection issue or something is interfering on purpose. And so I wanted to get that out there first. My question to you now, Isha, is about this channeling thing here, because when I go in and I am being directed, it's not like it's my voice. It's not like it's any voice I can really recognize. And it is some kind of, but it is a voice of something that says, here, sit down, da 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 da. You know, how did you come to learn over time, which frequency you were getting and understanding from all these, the galactic consciousness, if that's something as part of this. How did you come to learn that? Do you hear voices? Do you hear, do you have certain feelings? Did someone teach you this? Explain that a little bit to us.
That's a really great question. A big part of this for me has been self-taught, but the foundation for that was learning the Merkaba activation. I then since learned other techniques. I learned how to go into my inner heart. I learned how to open up my chakras, my third eye, my crown, activate my DNA. This was the information I got from the Acturians back in 2015.
We are back. And I wanted to just tell people once again that this program tonight might be a little snipped because, you know, the one thing too is that sometimes when you get such strong energies together, we just kind of blow up the universe. So, Isha, I want you to go back to the last thought you had regarding channeling and we'll take it from there.
So, yeah, what I was saying with the channeling, it really comes down to it's been years of practice for me. I mean, every time, it's every meditation that I've sat myself down, I've connected with different frequencies, different beings. It's been a huge learning process. And I did have to do a lot of it on my own. I had a couple of people that supported at various points along the way and, you know, a couple of mentors and things like that. But really, it's just been, it's I've done the hard yards, put it that way. You know, I've sat down, I've sat on my cushion, I've meditated and meditated and meditated and meditated. These days, you know, my clients get the fast track because I've put all 100 of my activations that have taken me over 7 years to learn. I've just put them in a library, and normally it takes clients maybe 2 to 3 years to get to it. So they're less than half the time that it took me to learn everything because they now have it handed to them on a silver platter in the 5D Empire, right? But for me, it was a process because back when I first started activating my Merkaba light body, I had this one experience where I remember just like fully dissolving into the everythingness. And I had this voice at that time that came through in my head and said, "You're in the 13th dimension." And I thought to myself, "Well, what's the 13th dimension? I didn't even know there were dimensions. What is this?" You know, I'm talking, this was me in my early 20s, right? Page of Google. And eventually a few people found one link that said something about that you know, that there's 12 dimensions in the universe. And I thought, okay, that's great. Like we're getting somewhere. But I was very clearly told you're in the 13th dimension, you know? So I had to trust that. And I think that was the moment in my life where I thought, okay, I've clearly discovered something that even Google can't help me with. And so I had to turn that practice inwards. And so a big, big part of my journey is honestly just sitting down, meditating day after day after day after day, connecting with so many different beings. And more things keep opening up. This is such an evolving journey. Like I had a new group of beings come to me just in the last week. You know, so I never sit down and say, "Oh, I think I know it all now," because I think there's thousands of races out there. And there was one group of beings that just recently made themselves aware to me within the last 3 to 4 days. It's the Altarian beings. Mm. Now, I've never communicated with them before. And sometimes what happens is beings will come through and make contact at a very specific time. And I know in the last couple of days, we've had at the time of recording this, we're just after the 22nd of February. So we had the big solar flare,
right?
And that's a very significant solar flare on 22 of the 2. And so I know that these beings have come through at around that timing for a very specific transmission. So now I get their color frequency, I get their name, I get a visual on them. It's a lot more clear as a practice.
Interesting. Hold tight here for a second here, because once again, this internet is really going to town on us tonight. And I wanted to ask the question, if something would kindly not interfere with this interview, you know, I don't know how to stop it, because I know on my end, I'm very clear. And on your end, once you start explaining things, it's almost like something just does not want you to say what you need to say. And it's like, it's okay, let her just say what she needs to say. The question I have is, this group that came to you, did they show themselves in your dreams or your visions as to a particular look?
the first thing that happened was I was actually just, I think I was on Facebook or something. And so sometimes what happens is I get a catalyst for the awakening. So something will come into my awareness and that will catalyze it. So I just saw this image of all these different stars, and there was one that I felt particularly drawn to. And then as soon as I focused in on that, that's when I heard the word Altarian come through. And a couple of days, I then started seeing the visuals. They had kind of like smallish but triangular kind of faces. See, the Arcturians have quite big heads. These guys had smaller heads, you know, and humanoid, like quite humanoid looking, but kind of like triangular faces, in that this the top of the head was a bit wider, and then coming down towards the chin was a bit more narrower. And then yeah, so they've just, and they're getting quite like sort of almost lanky, like skinny, like their arms are quite skinny, and because other beings, you know, they have different characteristics, whereas these Altarians have come through with this sort of triangular face, very skinny sort of features. And yeah, so they're just being, you know, I mean, it's very early stages. Sometimes these connections build over months or even years. So at the moment, all I have right now is I have a name, I have a visual, I've said hello to them, they've come to me in my dreams a couple of times. I know that they're somehow connected with the solar flares that happened on the 22nd of February. So I guess more information will just unfold as I keep tuning in and connecting in with that.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever had any experiences with the dream I had was of a mantis being, because I had asked where this handprint had come from, and it took about a year and a half, and then I had this dream just out of the blue. I wasn't watching any unusual TV shows or anything that would have led me to see something like that. And I had nearly died of COVID twice and passed out once from it. And then this handprint, of course, shows up on my body. And what made it so unusual was the crooked finger. But anyway, then this mantis being showed up. I scared the bejesus out of me. I was just sweating and my heart was beating. I didn't know anything about what I just saw. And it took somebody that I interviewed on my show to tell me, well, mantis beings are healers. And I said, well, it had a COVID mask over its face to try to disguise it a little bit. But the eyes were like this, and it tried to take the form of like a familiar relative that we know, my husband and I know. And so anyway, I'm just going to ask you, are you familiar at all with these mantis beings?
Look, I personally haven't had much encounters with them. You know, I know them through some of the work I've done in the ufology space, because on my podcast, First Contact, I interview a lot of people who've had experiences, and it seems to be quite a common experience, or that a lot of people have met. It's come to different people at various times for whatever purposes. So I've connected with a lot of races, but the mantids, I really haven't had much to.
Very interesting. So one question I wanted to get back to again was, when you're channeling, do you hear a voice in your head, or when you're being very telepathic, what do you hear in your head?
There's different ways to receive I'm somewhere between, I would say, clairsentient, but also quite visual as well. So a lot of the time I don't hear the words per se. Like, clairaudience is a very specific skill in and of itself. Occasionally I get moments of clairaudience, particularly when I'm connecting with the angelic realms. I hear the angelic choir and it's so beautiful, the most beautiful music I've ever heard. But most of the time it's more of a telepathic knowing. So I'll connect with them. I'll get a visual on them. I'll get a color frequency. Sometimes I get a full visual, like a face and features and things like that. And then I just get a knowing that this is the word, or this is the name, or this is the sentence that they're trying to convey to me. Because the way that they communicate as well, it's a combination of words and feelings and thoughts kind of all together. You know, I once upon a time, I coined this concept, like 3D thought. Like, most people have 2D You know, like it's just you have a thought, this feeling and a knowing, and especially when you combine it with a sacred geometry, because that's a lot of my work as well. When you combine it with a sacred geometry, you're able to receive a larger packet of information in a shorter amount of time. So instead of them having to say 1,000 words in order to communicate something to me, they can just transmit, and suddenly it's like I have this knowing, like, oh yes, I understand, I get it from that perspective.
Yeah, interesting. Very interesting. So what do you think your mission is here overall regarding, obviously you're being visited or you're having these exchanges and all this sort of thing. What do you think their mission is for you overall?
Programs, I take people out on retreats, and I work with a lot of leaders as well to help them connect, because I feel like it's just a matter of time before this becomes public knowledge. You know, I don't want to say, you know, disclosure so much, but I think everyone can have their own disclosure. That's really the purpose behind First Contact, is to empower people to have their own contact. And when I help facilitate this connection, it helps people to connect with the beings. And really my mission here is to facilitate intergalactic peace between humanity and the galactic beings. So it's about how we take this concept of contact into our own hands. It's not about waiting for the government. It's not about waiting for someone out there to give you permission. It's just realizing that you can have the tools now to make contact, and each person.
You know, I'm just surprised we're getting through this interview tonight. Just the amount of interference that has gone on tonight with this show has been absolutely unbelievable. And I'm not quite sure where that's all coming from yet. And so what I think we're going to do, if we can even get it out in the last 5 minutes here, is we'll have to have you back at a later date. But what I want you to tell people right now, and then I'm going to try to seam this thing together as best as I can, is tell them how they can find you to learn more about you, to watch your show and the whole 10 yards, and let's see if we can at least get that piece out.
Wonderful. So I have a podcast called First Contact. You'll find it on all major platforms, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. And I also have my website, which is www.eshapatel.com. That's EESHAPATEL.com. And for those who really want to go deeper into this work, I do have the 5D Empire membership, where you can come in, you can do the activations and make contact for yourself.
Oh, that would be very interesting. I think people, and is that, which website would they go to? Is that the ishapatel.com website? Is that where they would find how to do that?
Yeah, if they go to my website, there's a tab there that says work with me, and they can just put in an application, give me some information, and then what I can do is direct them to the best course or program that would be right for them. I do have other courses as well. I've got retreats and other offerings too. But the 5D Empire is a really great starting point, because it's got a library of activation. So for anyone who wants to connect, that would be the best starting point. So just head over to my website, fill out the little application form, and we'll be in touch from there.
Real good. And again, we will have you back in the future when something decides it doesn't want to interfere with us here. It's interesting, the very last part when you're telling all this, not too much of a problem. I don't know. I have had this happen from time to time, but I think we got the most interesting and the bulk of the information out there that people are probably intrigued by. And again, all of this will be on the show notes at the end of the show, so people can go at any time. It's a pre-recorded show where they can go in and then write down all this information, and then they can look you up, they can listen to your you have an active podcast, correct? First Contact is still going on to this day.
Yeah.
Listen to her, listen to other people and their experiences, and we might have to come down to the conclusion that we are not alone in this universe. As much as people want to believe that is, we are not alone. So on that note, Isha, thank you so very much for being on the show today.
Thank you for joining us this evening. Dr. Schutz welcomes your emails and paranormal stories. Visit her website at www.paranormaluniversalpress.com for contact information, or go to amazon.com to view her books, searching under Paranormal Encounters. Thanks for listening. Take care, and until next time,
Be careful what you wish for.
The script, vocal talent, and music compositions in this podcast program are copyrighted. As a disclaimer, this podcast episode or parts thereof may not be reproduced, reposted, or transmitted in any form without the express permission from the producer and company, Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, or Para-X Radio Network. Any opinion or claim made in any podcast episode by the host or guest does not necessarily represent the viewpoints of Paranormal Universal Press, LLC, Para-X Radio Network, or its sponsors. Properties mentioned in any podcast are publicly known to be haunted or have been discovered to have unexplained occurrences. If you are a ghost seeker, please take precautions and respect people's properties by not trespassing.